reading to you from the 21st chapter of Proverbs and with the 13th verse. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. You know, friends, I've had some wonderful, wonderful opportunities these past 45 years to serve the Lord in many capacities. I pastored full-time evangelism, mission director in 3 rescue missions, and in radio ministry for 35 years. And now, this last 12, 14 years, we've been doing prison ministries. Every one of them I loved. I really do. But I'll tell you the one I love the most, and that's what we're doing right now, going to prison. It is such a joy in my heart to be able to stand before those men and women and proclaim the gospel. Friends, listen, the good news is that Jesus came in the world to die for sinners like you and me. It's hard for me to believe that God would love a terrible person like me when I was an alcoholic. But he did. And when I turned my heart to him, he saved me and called me. And I tell you, it's been a wonderful 45 years. Hey, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of tea or whatever. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, how I thank you, Lord, for these past 45 years in service for you. Lord, it's a joy unspeakable. I don't know why people say it's such a burden to have to serve you. When what you did for us, Lord, we could never, never, never repay you. But what we can do is to show our love for you, to go out and tell others about Jesus. Dear Lord, our hearts have sure been sad in this past month about these sailors that were killed over there. Oh, God, what a tragedy. Be with our servicemen and women throughout the world. Protect them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they'll be a blessing to wherever they go. Father, I'm so thankful that I had an opportunity to serve in the Navy for 4 years. Met some of the most wonderful friends I'll ever have, I guess. I've been writing to them, sending them tapes, and trying to reach them for Christ. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunities. Now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll lift up Jesus, honor your word, hide me behind the cross. And, Lord, I pray that you'll save that person on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious, precious holy name we pray. Amen. Tonight, the quartet and I are, my wife are headed back for, from Olney Springs. We had the service there this afternoon, so be praying for us. I'd like to talk about my friend Elijah. Well, I don't know him personally, but he's my brother in Christ, and I want us to just sit back and listen, and maybe you can glean something from this tonight. I'll say, if you are bored with life and nothing seems to be going right, go get the Bible and look up some in the Old or New Testament and read about some of the great women and men of that day. Believe me, it will not... it will let you know that they had some pretty rough times even then. Your troubles won't seem so bad. Elijah was a prophet, and nothing is known of his parentage, and he's one of the most unique and dramatic characters of Bible history. Rugged in appearance and in dress. I kind of liken him to the Apostle Peter. They were similar in many ways. The first thing that he did was appear before that spineless king, Ahab. He announced unto that spineless king of a prolonged drought. It took some courage for Elijah to make that statement. Why? Because Elijah told Ahab that the Lord had told him to make that announcement. I'm sure it didn't set well with Ahab. Friends, you know, one time a man came to my house just before I got rid of my motorhome. And he said, you know, he was praying and the Lord told him that someone was going to give him a motorhome. Well, he kind of thought that someone would be me. And I said, well, if you got that kind of money, you can buy that motorhome. He said, no, I thought you would donate it to me. Well, the Lord never told me to donate that thing to him. And he is one of these guys trying to go around and live off the gospel and not work. Someone had prophesied over him, he said, and he was going to set the world on fire. Be careful what you hear when those who say they're going to prophesy over you. Be sure you know what you hear. Now we see Elijah heading out into the wilderness by the brook Cherith, also by the command of the Lord. God promised Elijah that he would feed him. How? Well, a raven would bring him bread and flesh in the evening, and he could drink cool water from the brook. Well, you recall in Philippians, I believe it's the 4th chapter, that God would supply our needs through Christ Jesus Christ Jesus our Lord. And friends, that has not changed. You're a Christian, and you're struggling, and you don't have enough to eat hardly, and you don't have a good job. Just wait on the Lord. Keep praying, keep believing. God does not lie, and Christ will supply your needs, not your greeds, through Jesus our Lord. Everything was going real good. The raven was on time every evening, and then what do you suppose happened? The brook went dry. Boy, that must have tested his faith. Has that ever happened to you? The old brook went dry? Well, beloved, it's happened to me many, many times in my walk with the Lord. But, you know, testing is a part of our growth for the Lord. He's going to test you. Every born-again believer is going to be tested. You will not be, you're not get out. I'll say, well, I haven't been tested yet. Well, maybe you don't belong to Jesus. But if you belong to him, you will be tested. You will have trials and tribulations. I pity these preachers who's trying to tell you that once you're saved, God won't let you get sick. God won't let you run without money. And he'll do this. That prosperity stuff, don't get it. Elijah knew he could not live without water, especially out in that old desert. However, the Lord had told him in advance that there was a drought coming. Now, we see Elijah coming into the town of Zarephath. This city was a famine-stricken city. Elijah noticed a lady out gathering sticks, and he said to her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water, a vessel that I may drink. He called her and asked her to fetch him a morsel of cake. She cried out, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. She said, I am gathering two sticks, and I'm going to dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. This man of God told her to fear not. He said, make a little cake, and after that make one for your son and yourself. The Lord has told me that your barrel of meal will never go dry, and your oil will never run out. And the barrel of oil never went dry. Now that goes to show you that people of God do not lie. When the man of God tells you Jesus came to seek and to save, you can believe that. If Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life, he will do it. No matter what some embryonic theologian tries to tell you, he said, I give unto you eternal life. Now, man, that's exactly what he means. I'll let you live forever. The Bible says in Romans, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You need to believe that. If you don't believe it, how can you have a victorious life? God does not lie. We have the Word of God, but in the Old Testament, they had to take man's word. They even had false prophets in that day also. Friends, there are many, many false prophets on TV today spreading the lie about the prosperous Christianity. I might be able to buy that, but the money goes into the preacher's pocket. God's work never sees any of it. If you are born again, God will give you spiritual discernment to know the false prophets from the real prophets. In the same city, the strain of the famine had been so great for her son that the boy died. By a mighty struggle and prayer, Elijah brings the boy to life again. Now we see a bunch of false prophets on the horizon. They were Baal worshippers. Now Elijah appears before King Ahab and commands that they come to Mount Carmel for a spiritual showdown. Boy, oh boy, I'd like to have been there. I'll bet that was a real thing. Man, that must have taken courage to stand before that ungodly king and make that demand. I told you Elijah was a special man of God. At Mount Carmel, Elijah called the people to a decision concerning God and challenges the prophets of Baal to a fiery test. There were 450 of them, to be exact. Friends, we too are to take a stand with the Lord. We need to take our stand against sin. My grandson asked his teacher something the other day, and she told him to shut his mouth. Friends, even our teachers are using that kind of language in school. If I was the principal, that teacher would pick up their paycheck and be gone. Can you imagine a teacher saying that? A woman teacher on top of that. Oh, friends, listen, we've let our guard down. We've let the devil get into our lives through TV, radio, and other ways. The devil is still a liar, has been, always will be. Well, anyway, they built an altar, killed the bullocks, and put it on the altar. Now, they were to pray to Baal and ask him to bring fire down from heaven and devour the bullocks and the altar. Now listen, friends, these Baal worshippers began to pray. Man, they prayed and they prayed, but their false god Baal never answered. Elijah knew that they would not get an answer from the dead god. He said, hey, man, maybe your god is on vacation. Old Elijah sat and watched those clowns. Pretty soon they started cutting themselves with knives. They were doing penance, that is, trying to appease their god. Didn't work then and doesn't work now. People need repentance, not penance. They jumped up and down on the altar. You know, the Bible tells us, physical exercise availeth little. I know churches where they jump up and down, holler, scream, and yell, and don't... You know what? God is not deaf. Did you know? I have heard people on their deathbed whisper a prayer and was heard by Almighty God. If that's the way they want to worship, they can do that. It's no concern of mine. Now, evening has come. Still no word from Baal. Now, Elijah repaired the altar that the false prophets had destroyed. Then he dug a huge, huge ditch around the altar and poured the ditches full of water. Let's listen in on Elijah's powerful prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, Let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O hear me, Lord, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw that, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah had the 450 false prophets taken away, and they killed them all. Listen, friends, I would delight to liken this to a man or woman who has fallen in a deep sin. Then they meet Jesus, and their lives are completely changed. People know that something has happened in your life. Then you proceed to tell them it was Jesus. My own brother told me the reason I didn't drink anymore after I was saved, that I decided to grow up. I assured him it was Jesus who changed my life. A very few years later, my brother, 3 days before he died, he too invited Christ into his heart and was saved. Listen, friends, the Bible says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Hey, one day I've been no good drunk walking the streets of Seattle, bombed out of my mind with alcohol. 4 days later, I'm going to church, sane, sober, and saved. I walked into that church. I was scared out of my hide. Now, the pastor had told them about me coming to your home at 3 a.m. in the morning, and he led me to Christ. Do you know what some of those deacons did? They just opened their arms and hugged me. Oh, friends, you don't know what a good feeling that was. I didn't know that they knew I had been the town drunk. But all of a sudden, I'm their brother. Oh, I tell you, what a wonderful feeling. Now we see Ahab telling Jezebel all that Elijah had done, the slaying of the 450 Baal worshippers. Now Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. That old gal was furious. She wanted Elijah's hide. Did you know she gave God more trouble than anybody in the entire Bible? What she should have been mad at was God, because God led Elijah to do these things. Now we see Elijah praying for rain, and boy, oh boy, did it ever rain. Would you not say that Elijah was a man of powerful prayers? I guess so. Elijah is nobody's fool. He took off for the Tules. He knows that Jezebel will kill him if she can find him. Now here's the next scene. We see Elijah sitting under a juniper tree. Now, where I was born and raised, there's all kinds of juniper trees. They smell kind of funny. In fact, I guess they make gin out of juniper berries. Discouraged and exhausted, all he really desires to die. But God in all of his love sent an angel to feed him, and then he journeys on to Mount Horeb. You know, I know some pastors and have known pastors over the years who have worked and worked in your church. Very few people volunteer to help. People aren't being saved. People won't tithe. Sometimes you want to throw up your hands and quit. Don't do it. Elijah's God is still alive and well. Keep plying the straight furrow, and God will see you through it. I remember years and years ago, I was pastoring my first church, and I was kind of feeling a little bit sorry for myself one day, and I was driving down the road, and I had this Christian radio program on. And Evangelist Green came on. He said, You know, I've been privileged to preach around the world, I've seen thousands and thousands of people saved in tent crusades. But you know, brother, if you're a pastor of a little country church and you're discouraged, keep an upward look, son, because you know God will reward you just like He rewards me. God will never forget our labor of love wherein we ministered in His name. You might be a preacher, whatever you are, and you get discouraged. And you think, I don't think I could go on anymore. Well, you can, because God isn't through with you yet. A songwriter once wrote a song, Through It All, Through It All. One time in my ministry, I too wanted to throw up my hands and quit. I reached over and I turned on the phonograph, and that was a song that I heard. Through it all, through it all. I sat there and cried like a baby. God ministered to my heart, and I'm still serving Him today. I thank God for songwriters. I thank God for Winon. I thank God for Bill. And I thank God for so many people that I know who have written songs. Usually, the song comes from an experience in their own lives. But it's a beautiful, and it's a wonderful talent. You know that man that I talk about, Lonnie Royal? What a songwriter he is, and what a singer. Oh, I just want you to pray for Lonnie. Lonnie's going through a lot of problems. And I told him the other day, I called him on the phone, and he began to cry. And I said, Lonnie, listen to me. Listen to me, son. You have a talent that I don't have. You've got a voice you can sing. You've got a talent you can play. Use it for the Lord, or He may take it away. Lonnie, get busy. He said, oh, thank you, Brother Mo, for calling me. You don't know what it means to me. You'd be surprised, dear friends, at all the people that I call through the week on my phone long distance to try to encourage them and try to tell them that God loves them, that I love them, and that don't quit. The devil, he is such a liar. He'll try to get you to quit. He'll make you feel sorry for yourself. He'll put you on a pity pot. Friends, don't do that. Now we see Elijah pouring out his heart unto the Lord. The Lord said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah said, I am very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God wasn't going to have any of this, and He said, Elijah, go. Return unto the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. The Lord tells Elijah, I have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, which have not kissed him. You see, sometimes we get a thinking we're all alone. And Elijah, being jealous, he wanted God's people to worship the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I don't know anybody else that is left. And the Lord said, now come on, Elijah. There's 7,000 people in Israel. They're alone that have not bowed to Baal. Now we see Elijah return to the vineyard of Naboth. See, Jezebel had Naboth murdered so that she could give his vineyard to her spineless husband, Ahab. But did you know what happened? Elijah pronounced an awful doom on the wicked and the king and his wife. They died just as Elijah had prophesied. You see, Ahab wanted this man Naboth's winery, vineyard. And so what did Jezebel do? She went down there and she had some lies spread about him. Well, it took him into court and they killed him. Now, she's going to give this vineyard to her no good husband. But before they could enjoy one bottle of wine, Elijah prophesied an awful doom on the wicked and the king and his wife. God was so pleased with Elijah that he took him home in a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. Oh, friends, what a beautiful true story. Folks, God is looking for men and women of faith. I tell these inmates in prison, some of the greatest people I've ever met came through the prison system and are saved and ready to serve the Lord. Let me ask you a personal, this is personal. Will you say tonight, Lord, here am I, send me? You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, you're asking a quite a bit. No, I'm not asking you a thing. God is asking you, are you willing to take up your cross and follow me? The best way to tell the Lord that you love him is to go out and tell someone else about him. That's a joy that I get. When I introduce alcoholics to Christ, you know what I always tell them? I always tell them this. Hey, you know, when I go out and talk to an alcoholic, it is so therapeutic to me because I was there in their shoes. And I don't know, you may not be an alcoholic, but, you know, there's other people beside alcoholics that need to be saved tonight. They sure do. Well, anyway, what do you think? Are you doing all that you can for the Lord? Are you still robbing from God? Are you still shutting your mouth and not telling others about Jesus? You're not witnessing. You're not doing personal evangelism. You feel if you go to church on Sunday morning, drop a nickel or two in the offering tray, that's all you have to do. My friend, if that's all you've got, you don't have much. When you know Jesus, you know that he's got a job for you to do. He's got a job for me to do. I'm not the smartest preacher in all the world, I'll assure you. And I'm not the greatest soul winner in the world, I'll tell you. But I am a soul winner, and I do lead souls to Christ. And I have found it's so wonderful and so therapeutic. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you bow your head to me right now? That is, if you feel it tugging at your old heart. Pray this simple prayer. Oh, dear Lord, forgive me for all of my sins. Lord, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. And then, Lord, help me to win people. Help me to be a good Christian. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I won't sit down right and ask you money. I won't embarrass you. I won't use your name on the air. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call.